Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sorry, what was that, Bob? Okay, Bob, we like what you're doing, but could you remember consonants, consonant energy, yeah? We want people to know what you're singing, okay? And let's go.
Jericho and the guitar.
I got guitar. Right. Right.
If she's not it.
He sings a bit like he's doing an impersonation of someone who's trying to discredit. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and then she said, and I said, well, of course you can't, you know, I'm perfectly reasonable. But then she said, me. That's pretty much what he does.
Just for the record.
Yeah.
Not slanging off, Bob.
Bob Dylan does that annoying thing where he has a song that you really love. Then he does it live and you don't know what the song is.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. I think if you like a song, you go to the concert, you bought your ticket, you turn up. You don't want to hear Subterranean Homesick Blues. I think he's just forgotten. He also forgets his songs. Or is it because he's just bored? He's probably just bored.
What, bored of his songs?
Yeah, bored of his songs. You must get bored of your songs as a musician,
well, I
right?
don't think Bob Dylan's like toured extensively.
That's the discipline, isn't
it? Do you know
it?
What I mean? Like, I don't think he's like... He's not someone who's still on the road all the time, is
no.
he?
No. No, no, certainly not.
He did accept his Nobel Prize this week.
He did, didn't he? But
Mr. Dylan, would you come to Sweden and accept your award for your lyrics?
Maybe what? He was trying to accept... Maybe yeah, he yeah. accepted it from the get-go.
Yeah, but they didn't understand.
Yeah, Mr. Dylan, would you like to come to Sweden and accept your award? Is that a yes or no?
Mr. Dylan, please press 1 if it's a yes, okay?
Yeah, yeah. Apparently he snubbed them, but I think he just doesn't know how to work a phone.
Snubbed them, or do you think he just doesn't care?
I think he doesn't care.
That's cool, isn't it?
He's you know... I mean, he's just probably more... He's probably not too into awards anymore.
Yeah. Once you've won everything ever...
Yeah, yeah.
It must be a bit weird.
What was it? The Nobel Prize for what?
For poetry, I think.
For poetry.
Which is good. It's good that he's finally getting some credit.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. That, good old Bob.
Bob's finally being recognised.
Yeah, yeah. The Nearly Man is finally arrived.
What's your favourite Bob Dylan song?
I like Subterranean Homesick Blues.
It's a bit of an obvious choice, Tim.
Why is that? Well sometimes like, you have to go
hits.
Obvious. Sometimes you have to go obvious.
Dylan, you don't pick the hits.
I'm not trying to get laid here. I'm not trying to have sex with you. I can be obvious. I'm sure, like, when you get asked, if you were, like, on a date, I'm sure if you got asked, oh, what's your favourite Bob Dylan song? You'd be like, have you heard of...
have you heard the acoustic version of Fourth Time Around from the album All Sessions?
Yeah, have you heard the Purple Gondola from 1972? It's a song that he didn't actually put out. But...
Yeah, it was one of the Blood on the Tracks B-sides that he recorded while he was still in the neck brace on a motorbike accident.
Yeah, yeah.
You know the Subterranean Blues video? Subterranean Homesick Blues video?
Right.
Which is outside, you know it's outside holding the cards?
No.
You don't know that video?
No, I don't know. No.
The music video where he's holding the lyrics.
Oh, yeah, I know the one.
And he's putting
that one.
Do you know where that was filmed?
No.
Around the back of the Savoy on the South Bank.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in an alleyway.
In an alleyway.
And no one, you can just go there now.
Is there a plaque?
Because it's the back of, no plaque.
There's not even a plaque.
No plaque.
God. But how did he win the award for poetry when you can't understand a word he's saying?
Because he writes poetry.
All right, so on the page...
His lyrics didn't win.
He doesn't lift it off the page very easily. Well, he writes poetry as well?
Yeah.
I thought, all right, okay.
As far as I'm aware, I don't think his lyrics won.
Right.
I think he's just... I think his poetry books won.
Right.
I mean...
Is it all vowels, his poetry?
Is he gracious? He's also a painter.
Oh, I see.
I went to one of his exhibitions once.
Is he any good?
Good thing he's also a songwriter.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
That's the thing, is when you get good at one thing, you kind of get, you start to get interested in another kind of medium. And then no, because you're so successful at that thing, the music, no one's really going to challenge you.
Well, you know, if Bob Dylan calls and goes, can I put my paintings in your book?
Yeah.
You're going to go, wow, that's Bob Dylan.
You go, fuck yeah.
Great idea.
Bob Dylan just shows up at a gallery space with a bollard.
Anyway, hello, and welcome to the Excitable Boy podcast for Wednesday the 5th. The 5th of Avril.
Greetings and salutations.
The 5th, le 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Avril 5. 5 ans Avril. Mm-hmm. Is that how they say it?
Yep.
They make everything sound better in French, don't they?
Yeah.
I'm afraid you are fired and you have cancer. Oh, wow. Thank you. Your father was eaten by a goat, an angry goat.
Thank you very much.
And here is the bag of his remains. Anyway, welcome to the show, guys. How are you? How has your week been? Is everything good? Are you enjoying the spring now mm-hmm. that spring's here?
Yeah.
Easter's coming. Are you angry at Cadbury's?
Or Jesus?
Well, why'd you be angry at Jesus? He's coming back.
Yeah, but he came back, then he went again.
When does he go? He goes and comes back in Easter.
He gets killed.
In Easter.
He gets slung up on that old cross there.
Yeah, then but that's in Easter.
Yeah, it's in Easter.
And then he comes back. He has a long weekend.
Then he gets put in a cave, and then some people cry a bit, and then. The cave, he basically moves a boulder to the cave all on his own, like after being crucified, and then he kind of rises into heaven through the sky, just like a reverse parachutes up through the clouds.
And then he comes back to Earth. And then when does he go up?
No, he doesn't come back to Earth. He just comes alive again. And was like, holy shit.
Yeah, but then when does he go back up to heaven?
We thought we killed you, and then he goes
on the third day again. He ascended into heaven.
Yeah, ascension. Yeah,
where he sitteth upon the right hand of God, our Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Wow, I didn't expect you to do that.
I know. Weird, isn't it? Weird. What damage from my childhood is locked up in there?
Yeah.
Welcome to the show. Hope you're looking forward to your... What do we call Easter now that the Cadbury's and the National Trust don't call it Easter?
What? What do you mean?
Well, everyone's freaking out because Cadbury's are calling it like the chocolate egg season.
It's like a harvest.
They're not writing Easter on the...
Right.
Because Cadbury's are a business and they want your money. And they don't care what religion you are. They just want you to buy chocolate eggs.
Yeah, but they want it to be a religious. Do you know what I mean? They don't want it to have any affiliation.
Exactly, as it should be, right?
Yeah, I mean, initially, I think all these... I mean, like, for example, Christmas used to be like a harvest festival. I think probably it's a spring. Every culture has a kind of changing of the seasons festival, don't they?
Well, everyone's spazzing out because the National Trust, which, come on, who the fuck goes to the National Trust?
What do you mean?
Like what, those big country houses?
Who goes to visit, like...
The National Trust have got rid of their Easter egg hunt.
You go walk around a house.
Because they want it to be a religious.
With a maze.
Yeah, so they don't have a...
Right.
And Theresa May is on the news now going, well, not only am I a vicar's daughter, but I'm also a member of the National Trust. It's like you are just alienating yourself even further from the British public, Teresa.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, looks a lot like Danny DeVito as the Penguin in Batman Returns.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I just want to say that.
Yeah, she's got that, you know, that air to her.
You know, and I'd never slag off an elected official.
No, I wouldn't on principle.
She just got the job because they needed some filler. She's the last three tracks of the album. Theresa May.
I think that's probably...
She's political filler.
That's kind of accurate, isn't it? Because she just got, you know, Cameron...
Even if you like her, she didn't get the job.
No, Cameron fucked everything.
It's the equivalent of the king dying and then the prince becomes king.
Yeah.
You know?
See you later. David, where are you going? Dave, never mind. See you. Bye. Bye.
You're in charge
the morning of the Brexit vote. Just chuck the keys to Theresa.
I've talked to the cleaners. They're going to make you pack lunch every morning. It's all fine. You see you later.
Where's David gone? He's gone to a tax haven.
He's on a beach, making 20%. So everyone's spazzing out because the National Trust have stopped their Easter egg hunts and Cadbury's aren't calling it Easter eggs anymore.
Great. Austerity is a bummer, isn't it?
Tradition is the illusion of permanence, my friend.
Oh, very good.
Thanks.
No. So
Woody Allen said that, not me.
Right.
But it's true.
It is true.
Look, here's how it works. A company, right, wants to make money. So they'll do that however they want. So you don't have a fucking right to let your childhood traditions get in the way of a business. If you want to start an Easter egg company and call them Easter eggs, start an Easter egg company. Just see how easy it is for you to get them into every fucking supermarket in the country.
What are they calling it?
They're calling it...
Life eggs.
Chocolate eggs.
Very literal. Very literal.
Yeah, but why are people upset about that?
I'm not upset. Who's upset? No one's upset. It's some journalist, some editor, newspaper editor is coming, going, come on guys, we need to write a story about this. Some junior journalist is going, oh fuck.
No man, everyone on Twitter's pranging out about it. I'm going to have to do something about this.
Yeah, what bloggers?
Again. No, just people with a Twitter.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone's gripped by this existential crisis that they have to say something about anything at all times. No one gives a shit. No, if you ask your average person in the street, no one gives a shit.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I have faith.
In
people. In common sense.
Really?
No.
All right, so what happened this week? So, I want to ask you a question about something that happened to me this week. I got an Uber.
Right.
The other night.
Yeah.
And I get in the taxi, and the cab driver immediately just goes, you like to live in London? Yeah. And I went, yeah, I do. And he went, yeah, it's very, everyone, all the women are very free. Very sexy women.
Right.
Very free, sexy women.
So horny Uber driver.
And he just went, you have very young face. How old are you? He goes, you have very young. You have a young Somalian face. Somalians. And he went, they look very young. Chinese don't. They don't look young.
The Chinese don't look young.
Yeah.
What?
He was Turkish.
The Chinese don't look young.
In case you can't get it from my...
That's just an odd thing to say. Chinese don't look young.
And then I was just like, yeah. And I just wanted silence. I just was just like, oh my God, this guy's fucking...
What do you do when you want silence in a cab? You just go, yeah.
It just made me feel bad. I was like, what if you're a girl and he's doing this? Like,
okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so it must be so horrible to be a woman in an Uber.
So the Chinese don't look
with
young.
That man.
The Chinese don't look young. And then what did he say?
And then he goes, you like massage?
No, he didn't.
On my mother's life.
He went, do you like massage?
You like massage?
Were you sat next to him or in the back?
No, I was in the back.
Right in the back.
And I went...
Were you right behind him or were you off to the... Can he see you at the...
He could see me in the rear view.
In the rear view mirror. So you're not directly behind him?
No.
At that
point, I just was on my phone and I just started going...
Oh, yeah, you did the
I just
phone.
Started going... yeah. You know, just sort of like...
Yeah, suggesting that you're connected to a place somewhere else when you're clearly not.
And then he went... he was like, are you single? They have girlfriend. And I went... And he went, I like single. I like single friends. It's more fun. Very free country. Very sexy country. And I was like, all right, I get it. I know where this conversation is going. And then the weirdest bit was he pulled in at my house and had a wedge of watermelon.
Right.
And just went, you want some watermelon?
Oh, my God.
Like that.
That's his code.
And I was like, and I thought about it, because obviously I wanted some watermelon. Because who doesn't want watermelon?
Right, well, you said yes to the watermelon.
No, but it's a delicious, refreshing snack.
So you were torn.
Who doesn't want watermelon?
So you were torn.
Whether it's provided by a creepy, sexed up, horny stranger.
Yeah.
Or on a beach in Malibu. Right. Watermelon is refreshing, right?
Right. And this guy's Turkish, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I just went, no thanks. No thank you. And he's like, you have a bite. Have some watermelon. It's fresh.
Right.
And I was like, this guy's going to murder me.
Okay.
And then I thought about it and thought... He must want me to bite into this watermelon and have it, like, drip down my face.
Did he bite into it first?
Oh, it's on my shirt. Yeah, yeah.
Did he bite into it first while holding eye contact with you?
No.
No. What was the pity? And then, so you actually said yes.
Yeah.
And you took watermelon from this...
stranger.
This horny stranger. Turkish Uber driver.
No, of course I didn't. I just got out of the cab 4 streets before my house.
Really? You got out early?
Yeah, of course I got out early. The guy was a fucking weirdo.
So he's like, so you said no to his watermelon.
Yeah, I rejected the watermelon. Right. Okay, so so what I wanted to ask you is,
right.
What's the, aside from the comedy of that situation,
uh-huh.
What's the procedure here where do I report the guy for being, because like what, you don't, you know, I'm a small man.
Right.
Right, but what if, you know, I felt threatened.
Right.
What if you're just a woman on her own? Like, that's not, you can't do that. I mean, there's no way for Uber to legislate, like, the driver's horniness before they give them the job.
Right.
You can't check someone's libido, can you?
No, but, you know, I mean, he obviously didn't have a criminal record.
Yeah.
In, you know, in this country.
Yeah. But what do I do here? Do I report the driver and just say he asked me if I liked massage and offered me watermelon? Because on paper,
he didn't offer you a massage though. No, he just said, "Do you like massage?"
Yeah,
he was.
Maybe he wanted to go to a parlor.
He didn't cross the line with you. That's maybe, the thing. Maybe he was playing a very clever game.
He was playing a clever game.
Very clever game. Very cat and mouse, and he didn't do anything wrong.
I opened the window of the taxi,
right,
just in case I had to escape
out the window.
Isn't that weird?
Out the window.
Yeah, because I thought he might lock the doors like in The Bone Collector.
All right. So
instead, where the door lockers, he's replaced with razor blades.
Razor blade. Right.
That's an interesting touch that The Bone Collector does in his taxi, isn't it?
What, he adds a razor blade?
He adds a razor blade where the lock is, so when you try and pull the lock up, it cuts your fingers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an unnecessary attention to detail, isn't it?
Well, it's kind of a little flourish in the writing.
Well, when you're busy collecting bones,
right,
and making people, does he make them eat their bones?
I haven't seen The Bone Collector.
And it just seems like, first of all, like buying a taxi when you're a murderer, you know, that's going to be a hard, because he has to have a taxi license, doesn't he?
Yeah, I suppose.
So he has to get the license.
Mm-hmm.
He has to kill the people, collect their bones.
Yeah.
And on top of that, he's then going, I think I'll just add a little artistic flourish, some nuance to my cab.
You need quite,
He could have just got rid of the locks, but no, he didn't.
So The Bone Collector, when he collected the bones, he was like, great, I've got some bones.
Yeah.
And then where do you put them?
Well, there are many places to put bones. Like, if you're Ed Gein.
What, he didn't kind of keep them at home in a, like, an...
In a... No, like Ed Gein, yeah. Who Texas Chainsaw was based on.
Right.
He, when the police raided his house, and this is completely true, they found a coffee table made of shin bones.
Right.
They found a rocking chair made of like tibulars and fibulas.
Right.
And they found a belt. This is true. They found a belt made of nipples.
Right.
If you can believe that.
Well, he got creative with it.
Yeah, see?
I mean,
Ed Gein also never killed anyone. I mean, he killed his brother, but whatever. His brother was, you know...
What do you mean he never killed anyone? Where did he get the bones from?
He never killed anyone. He dug up bodies. He used to dig dead bodies up, skin them, wear them.
What's wrong with that? It's upcycling.
Exactly.
He upcycled corpses.
Yeah.
Well,
Why? I feel like he was really not done justice in Texas Chainsaw.
He's a pioneer.
He never hurt anyone.
Yeah.
Do you know what? This is true as well. Ed Gein was the village babysitter.
Right.
So when the police raided his house,
uh-huh.
Everyone was like, oh, that's just Ed. He comes around our house and looks after our kids. He's totally, totally fine. And they raided his house and found...
He's not fine.
No, not far from it. far from it!
Your babysitter's...
But yeah.
Yeah, he's not cool.
That's how you collect bones. The bone collector, rubbish at collecting bones.
Right. He just stuck him in storage.
Yeah. He just had Denzel... And also, he was trying to collect Denzel Washington's bones.
Well, do you know how...
And Denzel Washington was paralysed in the movie. So it's an easy target.
Well, do you know how, you know, when you own things, they end up owning you? Do you think you ever got weighed down by the bones? That he had him in storage, and then he had to hire out a new storage, and then he just eventually he just wanted, you know, he wanted
put them
out.
On Gumtree.
He put them on Gumtree.
Or Craigslist.
Yeah, yeah. I think he had a hard time, The Bone Collector. That's why he's so angry.
If you had to get rid of a body, Tim, what would you do?
I think we've talked about this before. I'd drive it up to Scotland, put heavy chains and weights around it, drop it, row out into the middle of a loch, like a big, you know, the big lakes, the big lochs, like Loch Lomond.
Loch Ness.
Boom, show it over, sinks to the bottom, no one knows. No one knows. Those babies are so deep, you'll just all the way to the bottom.
You get caught before you got there, though.
No, I'll be all right.
Why?
Well,
you're very hopeful.
No, I just...
About all these things.
I'd wrap it up in a... I'd say it's you, because it's bound to. I mean, so I'd wrap you up in a...
Why have you killed me, firstly?
Well,
What did I do?
Well, you probably just... Blistled me for the last time. And I wrapped you up in a... Well, I don't know, killed you, choked you out. Then wrap you up in a rug. Drive you up, you know, like a Jeep, like a Cherokee kind of vehicle. And then, you know, boom. Out to the middle, down, then get some Eccles cakes.
Put a 2p in that machine that flattens it into the shape of the town that you're in.
Yeah, have some fudge.
Yeah.
And then
some
come
rock.
Yeah, and then come back down. And then everyone will come up to me, have you heard from Josh? No, I don't know. Last time I saw him, he was being a prick. A real prick.
Yeah, but the car would have my DNA all over it.
No, I'd wash it down. I'll crush it. I'll go to a compactor or something. Just get, you know, like the mafia. Get it compacted on a container ship.
If you really wanted to kill two birds with one stone, you could just drive the car into the lock.
No, that's lazy. That's why? Lazy.
It would weigh itself down.
No, because you'd have to really get out in the middle. No, I'll just compact it.
Anyway, speaking of conspiracies as such, this week the FBI finally dropped the D.B. Cooper case. Do you know this story?
No. Well, you mentioned it briefly before, but I don't really know.
So the story of D.B. Cooper is a guy who got on an airplane and hijacked it with and took 200. This is back in the day when airplanes... I don't fully understand why airplanes had cash on them.
Right.
For ransoms? Because isn't that sort of tempting fate a little bit?
Really? Did they have cash on them for ransoms? Isn't that weird? They didn't have cash on them for ransom.
Like, it's kind of tempting fate. It's like going around someone's house and they've got, like, a fire ladder, you know?
Right.
Now, what's that for? Well, just in case there's a fire. I feel like you're tempting fate somewhat.
Right, right.
You know?
They seriously had money on planes for ransoms.
Well, yeah, I think so. And then, basically, pre-9/11, the rules of aviation hostage situations was always give the terrorists what they want.
Right.
There was always the rules. It was always like, yeah, just comply, fly to where they want to fly to, give them the jewellery. Because they used to sell nice jewellery on airplanes as well.
Yeah.
Remember that? And,
yeah, remember that?
Remember that?
The golden days.
The golden era.
Before 9/11.
Yeah.
Where you could actually pick up a brooch.
Pan Am, BOAC. Like
a gem-flecked.
VC-10.
Creation.
DC-10.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he got on the plane. So this is, I'm reading off of what happened, what he did. He ordered a drink, bourbon and soda. While the flight was waiting to take off, at 3 p.m. he handed the stewardess a note indicating that he had a bomb in his briefcase and wanted her to sit with him. The stunned stewardess did as she was told. Opened a cheap attaché case. Cooper showed her a glimpse of a mass of wires and red-coloured sticks, which, to be honest... probably not a bomb.
Yeah, mainly for show.
Just some Play-Doh and some pipe cleaner.
Yeah, he just watched some, Walt Disney cartoons.
And demanded that she write down what he told her. Soon, she was walking a new note to the captain of the plane that demanded 4 parachutes and $200,000 in $20 bills. When the flight landed in Seattle, the hijacker exchanged the flight's 36 passengers for the money and parachutes. Cooper kept several crew members and the plane took off again, ordered to set a course for Mexico City.
Mexico.
Somewhere between Seattle and Reno, a little after 8 p.m, the hijacker did the incredible.
Right.
He finished his airline meal. No. He jumped out the back of the plane with the parachute. By the way, airline meals get a bad rep. They're pretty fucking delicious.
They're good nowadays.
Do you know why airline food sucks?
Because altitude kills your taste buds.
It decreases your taste buds by 33, by a third.
But were you about to give me a third in 33.33333?
Recurring.
Right.
He did the impossible.
Right.
He jumped out the back of the plane with a parachute and the ransom money. The pilots landed safely, but Cooper had disappeared into the night, and his ultimate fate remains a mystery. The FBI pursued hundreds of leads. No body or parachute was ever found, but in 1980, a boy digging near the Columbia River... See, that wouldn't happen nowadays, would it? Don't really dig anymore.
What are you talking about?
Like, they don't just go out digging, do they?
No, because you've got smartphones.
A boy digging near the Columbia River found 3 bundles of $20 bills whose serial numbers match the money Cooper demanded. And the FBI dropped the case this week, saying that they there's more urgent cases that need attention rather than trying to find this guy that went missing like nearly 50 years ago.
He got away with it.
Yeah.
Got away with it.
You got away with it. Scott.
So there's a lesson there.
Scott clean? Is that an expression?
Scott free.
Scott free.
The moral of the story is, you know, if you're going to do something, do it really well and do it cool, and people eventually will give up.
And this new company called... See, I'm unsure as to whether these guys are legit, because the name of their company is Citizen Sleuths.
Right. They've taken on the case.
They've taken on the case, which Citizen Sleuths sounds to me like 4 guys in mum's basement.
Yeah.
With a magnifying glass.
They're kind of slightly overweight.
Yeah, and a WikiLeaks membership.
Yeah.
Right?
With a poster of Julian Assange on the wall.
And they have, they've been investigating, and basically the fabric, so he left a tie clip on his seat before he jumped out of the plane.
Right.
Right? And there was some fabric on the shirt that was, or the tie.
Yeah.
Some tie fabric was on the tie clip.
Right.
And there was a lot of... I can't remember what the metal was, but basically, because there was a lot of metal on this fabric, they reckon that he must have been an airplane engineer.
Ah.
So they've cracked this case wide open.
Right.
So the FBI have dropped it.
Right.
And said he must have been someone who knew that flight route. He must have been someone that worked in airplanes because of the amount of metal in his tie.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
And also because of that specific type of metal they were developing, I guess in 71 it wouldn't have been, must have been the Concorde if it was, if maybe if it was Seattle,
yeah,
because they developed the Concorde over there and they were one of the competition competition, the Lockheed,
yeah, they're doing their own one,
yeah, the one that didn't quite work,
yeah,
because the wings folded out. They said that he must have been like working on one of these airplanes, so they've like narrowed it down to like basically like 20 guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But then can't you just find out which one went missing?
Yeah, exactly.
Did any of your crew just vanish or die?
Yeah.
In a mysterious circumstance in 1971?
Then boom, you got your guy.
Yeah, Barry.
Barry, Barry.
Yeah, and then you've got it. You pin it on Barry.
Barry Pebble.
Pin it on Barry.
Yeah.
Anyway, letters? Should we do the letters?
Yeah.
Should we, is that enough?
Yeah, sure.
Is that enough?
I think that's enough.
Stupid things to know about?
I think so.
That's it. We'll be back in a minute. We're going to check, see if we have any adverts right here. And we're back. I wonder what product that was. I bet it was something that you should probably buy.
I bet it was something our listeners could afford.
Yeah, you should contact
like a house or a car,
the company, and say all the all, and say, "Hey, yeah, we listened to the Excitable Boy podcast, and as a result, bought your thing."
An S-Class BMW.
So that we get more money.
Yeah.
Anyway, every week you can write to the show, ebp@excitableboypodcast.co.uk. Any problem that you might be having, maybe it's a work problem, like.
Work with a guy called Michael. He works in the cubicle opposite you. You've noticed he has a secret stash of biscuits. He uses them as social leverage. He goes, do you want to come see? Have a biscuit. Biscuit? Biscuit? Everyone's like, oh, thanks, Mike. You're such a nice guy. He goes, yeah, I love biscuits, although my wife says I should eat less of them because I'm a bit overweight. So one day you steal his biscuits from him. You're partly curious to see how his self-esteem will cope, and he goes to his drawer to find his biscuits. They're his favourite, the Jammy Dodgers. And he sees they're not there, and he loses his shit. He goes, who the fuck did this? Seriously, guys. Seriously, it's not a joke. You put your hand up, you go, it was me. I ate all your fucking biscuits, Mike. What you gonna do about that? And because you've done this in front of the entire office and some people are tittering with and I find it amusing, he starts to lose his shit. He goes, right, you. Outside. And you go outside and he bonks you in the nose right into the show.
Breaks your nose.
That was it. Breaks your nose.
Over some fucking hobnobs.
Over, yeah.
What are those stupid biscuits that have sugar on them and raisins in the middle? And they're like kind of next to the hobnobs. You know, they're like sort of not flower shaped, but they're ridged around the edge.
Yeah.
Like that. And they've got like a bit of sugar on top and they're quite chewy. They've got raisins in them.
Yeah, I think they're called shit biscuit.
What's the worst biscuit?
Right. Just...
What's the worst biscuit?
I know the best one.
What's the best one?
Pink wafer.
Fuck off.
I love a pink wafer.
No, you don't. No one likes a pink wafer.
Everyone loves a pink wafer.
Do you know what? When I was a kid, my auntie worked in an old people's home. And when my mum had work, my aunt would, after school, I'd go and have to sit with my aunt in the old people's home until my mum finished work, right?
Right.
And there was this woman there that... Like, I still feel quite bad about this, right? This little old lady, and she was so old.
Right.
She was like, You know, like when you get really old and everything sags.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's like God is trying to get you back underground because right, starts yeah. pulling gravity, yeah, gravity starts pulling you back
yeah.
under the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
This cute little old lady, right, with her see-through skin.
Right.
She used to give me pink wafers every day after school.
What right? nice, what nice woman.
What a nice, exactly. What a beautiful gesture from an elderly woman.
Yeah.
And I'd like to add,
right,
in Essex, right, yeah, yeah. in Essex we were, and she was a white lady.
Right.
Giving pink wafers to a little brown kid. Like, you'd expect someone like that to be a little bit racist.
Right.
Totally lovely.
Yeah.
Totally sweethearted woman, right?
She loved giving you the pink wafers.
And I was so freaked out by her oldness that I used to think I'd catch something if I ate them, so I put them in the bin every week.
That's awful. But did you like the taste of them?
I just thought that she was so old that if I ate them, I'd get old. That's like sort of like a contagious.
Well, I think yeah, that's kind of cute.
A contagious Benjamin Button.
Right. Okay.
You know.
Right.
I was like, she is so fucking old, and if I eat this, maybe I'll catch her old.
You'll catch old.
I'll catch. Right. I'll catch a bad case of the olds.
You can't catch a yeah. You go majorly old.
Yeah.
Well, what a sad story. She's dead now. Anyway.
Okay. Or maybe it's a relationship problem. Like.
Oh yeah, you like working out. You like working out so much, you've joined a gym. One of those special gyms, it's lovely. But the only problem is your new boyfriend called Toby.
Toby.
Toby, Toby, Toby. Who keeps ruining films as well. He wants to come to the gym with you, come to the gym with you, come to the gym with you. And you go, oh, I'm not sure about that. I don't want you to see me working out. But he comes anyway, and he makes a point of jogging behind you. He goes to the weights arena and he's never out of your line of sight.
Keeps looking at you while he's doing his reps. He keeps looking at you while he's doing his reps. He keeps looking at you while he's doing his reps. And it's putting you off doing your reps.
And then the personal trainer comes over to you and Toby is a bit jealous. He comes over to the personal trainer and goes, don't worry, mate, I've got this. He goes, seriously, seriously, don't pay attention to him. I really want to know how to do this exercise properly. And Toby goes, well, what the fuck? Well, I can show you how to do that properly. I've been going to the gym for the last 20 years. Like, I'm a gym person. I thought we'd been over this.
I'm a gym buddy.
I'm a gym guy.
I'm a gym guy.
I used to do personal training. That fell through because the self-employment didn't
work out
for me.
My real name is James, which yeah. is gym.
I had to get a regular job. I tried a few. I dabbled in graphic design, but now I work in an office. But I used to work in a gym. Right into the show.
Maybe it's a sex problem, like.
You can't get it up. That's it. All right.
First letter, erotic novel.
Right.
Dear EBP, I was cleaning my son's room the other day when I found a lot of notepads and notebooks of erotic stories. Lots of them involve already known superheroes and cartoon characters. They're really well-written stories, and although I don't agree with the content, I'd like to encourage my son to keep writing. But I'm worried that if he knows I read them, he will be upset. He's a very shy and introverted boy. He's a very shy and introverted boy, and this is the first hobby of his I've ever really known about. What should I do? What would you have done if you were a boy and your parents confronted you / tried to encourage your writing?
What's he writing?
Erotic fan fiction, from the sounds of it.
About superheroes.
So, like, basically, like, it was Wonder Woman's day off, right? She goes to Whole Foods. She's queuing up for some cashews, and she notices the checkier's Adam's apple is
right
somewhat bountiful and protruding from his deliciously skinny neck.
Right.
They go home together. He offers tumescent, to carry her bag.
Tumescent is a
and then
big
basically, like,
word.
Wonder Woman gets fucked, basically.
She hops on a D.
The invisible D.
She gets... Is that a new superhero who's made up?
The invisible... No, she had an invisible jet, didn't she?
Invisible D.
She had an invisible jet.
That's a superpower. She had an invisible jet.
Yeah, Superwoman had an invisible jet. Do you not know that?
Isn't that Wonder Woman?
Oh, sorry. Wonder Woman had an invisible jet.
Right. She had an invisible... They're really
which is kind of shit yeah. compared to Superwoman who could fly.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, Wonder Woman's got to pay the upkeep.
Yeah, she's...
on
yeah.
a jet that you can't see.
She's got to take it down to the... to the mechanics of the hangar. Everyone's yeah. like, where
seems to be the problem? I don't know.
Where's your jet? Yeah, where's your jet? Oh, it's invisible. You have to do it all by touch.
Yeah.
The mechanics are like, oh, fuck you.
Anyway, so he's writing erotic fan fiction, and right. his mum's found the books,
well,
and,
like,
she wants to encourage her son's writing. My advice in all seriousness would be, don't fucking mention it.
Yeah, no, there's no way you can...
Hey Sam, I read your story about how Batman, all the Smurfs fucked each other.
Yeah, I read a story about how Batman pounded Robin.
On the bonnet of the Batmobile.
And may I say, I applauded the slow build of tension throughout the story that culminated in the violent sex.
I love how the butler Alfred watching in the background represented a metaphor of the downfall of Western civilization and the fact that Uncle Tom is always watching everything we do.
Yeah, but the only problem is I kept hearing Michael Caine's voice. as he masturbated on a stool watching.
Masturbate. I will not stand by. Will you? Stick your dick.
Oh my god. Well, yeah, you can't mention it. You can't mention going
Batman,
near that.
Batman wearing only his utility belt.
No, that's not flattering.
When the Incredible Hulk got angry, it wasn't just his muscles that got big.
Right.
You know?
I imagine the Hulk, though, like, because he's kind of roided up. I imagine that he's kind of, you know, gone the other way with his genitalia.
Oh, you think he's got a small dog?
Yeah, absolutely. Why do you think he's so angry?
Do you know what I would do is maybe buy him some stuff that will encourage it? Like a laptop.
Right.
If it's all in notepads.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Like a laptop or a... You know, some more notepads, some pens.
Yeah.
Stuff that's going to encourage him to write. Where you're not specifically saying, I read your story, The Avengers Ass Emble.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I think it was very fluid. And,
it showed elegance in the prose.
Yeah. The third act with Tony Stark showing everyone his bony Stark was very cleverly done.
Yeah, don't go near it. But yeah, do that. Do the roundabout thing and just kind of buy him a laptop.
Yeah. All right, next letter. But just buy him a laptop.
Just buy him a laptop.
Or just some pens if you can't afford a laptop.
And also do the thing that, you know, parents have done generation on generation, just pretend it isn't happening.
All right, next letter.
Yeah.
Having the relationship conversation. Josh and Tim, love the show. You've been good enough to answer two emails of mine over the years. And gave really sound and amusing advice. Blah, blah, blah. So I wonder if you have a... Basically, the way dating is nowadays, as far as I can tell, it's necessary to have a proper sit-down conversation at some stage to establish what you're doing. Whether or not you're actually boyfriend-girlfriend or boyfriend-boyfriend-girlfriend-girlfriend, whatever your thing is, or just seeing each other. My question is, what's a normal timescale to have this conversation? Obviously, all relationships and situations are different, but if you had to speculate on an average... It's a question there. If you had to speculate on an average...
Right. Time period.
I'm currently seeing a girl, and I'm in a situation of wanting to have the conversation, but worried about doing it too soon and potentially ruining whatever it is we do have. Any thoughts? I only met her for the first time 17 days ago, so that makes me think it might be too early. But then we have been out together 9 times in that period, so maybe she feels the same. Also, as if this email wasn't long enough already, any thoughts on how to broach the subject? Sent from Outlook.
Right, okay.
I would sit that person down and just say, look, I love being with you. Why don't we just be with each other and not stick our bits in anyone else?
Right.
Say it exactly like that.
Yeah, I think it's useful, like, you can say it in a non-creepy way.
I want my genitalia to be exclusively yours.
You could just say, listen, I really like you. I want to go out with you and I don't want us to see anyone else. That's how I feel at the moment. But if you feel different, that's cool. But this is how I feel right now. But I'm not going
to... I've spoken to your parents.
I'm not cool with you seeing other people.
I spoke to your mum. She's fine with it. Your dad says I need to make a better living. But for now, we are exclusive.
I think people respond to it quite well because this is kind of like one foot out the door kind of... disposition now where you get everyone's kind of got to have something else going on somewhere else. But if you just kind of went, listen, I'm all in, you know,
have you doiked each other yet?
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd have to maybe
have you exchanged doik marks
if you've doiked. Doinked
doik. I like doik.
Right.
If you've doiked, then you know, also
doik is like the Jewish,
well, I mean,
doink.
You know, not to assume, you know, some people like to wait, you know, in relationships till they're married. Which is stupid.
Yeah, Christians.
Well, not just Christians. Isn't there other religions that don't have sex till they're married?
Yeah, loads.
Isn't that weird? It's not. It's like not test driving a vehicle before you drive it forever.
Right.
You know? It's kind of odd, isn't it? Do you want to do the most fundamental, basic human thing?
Right.
That's the reason that we all have managed to exist for this long?
Yeah.
And is also, you know, one of the fundamental, like, joys of life.
Probably best not to, you know, make the other person feel analogous with a car.
What do you mean?
Well, you're saying, I haven't test driven you yet.
Well, it's true. Well, you wouldn't go to a restaurant and order everything on the menu, would you?
Well, the car's going to start. It's not like the car's not going
to
start.
But you should drive many cars to figure out which car you love the most and want to sit in every day.
And then fuck that car for the rest of your natural life.
I'm not comparing lovers to cars. In fact, I am.
Yes, you are.
I'm not comparing women to cars.
No, you're
I'm comparing people
to cars. And
relationships
to cars. You are comparing people to cars.
Which is absolutely fine.
Which is fine.
What's wrong with that?
Because it's equally stupid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know? You have to try things before you decide that you want to do it forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know...
Imagine that if you've never had sex and then you do it after you've got married and you've waited like 30 years. That must be the most insane shag.
Yeah.
It's every emotion is that shag. Amazing, disappointing, embarrassing.
Right.
Clueless.
Right.
Feeling like it's, you know, like complete ecstasy and also utter sadness.
Yeah.
It must be a weird moment. If anyone listening to the show is one of those people, can you just write in and tell us about it?
Right.
Someone who only doinked on their wedding night for the first time ever.
Right. I went to university I lived with a girl who was she had a long-term boyfriend. And like, they didn't have sex. They were Christians and they were going to have sex when they got married. But he would come every second weekend he'd come to stay. And I just remember, I always got her name wrong as well. She's called Linda. And I kept calling her Laura. It's terrible when you live with someone and you keep getting the name wrong. They tend to find you... Awful.
Yeah.
And anyway, but he kept coming. I could just tell he was kind of a bit frustrated, but he was kind of all in. It was weird. She had loads of... she's one of those girls who had loads of teddy bears. Do you know?
Yeah.
So it was kind of this kind of... I just thought, just fuck. And then you'd get rid of the teddy bears.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be a child anymore. You just get rid of the teddy bears.
Did they get married?
I think they got married.
I have a friend who is a Christian.
Eventually.
And he'd never had sex with anyone. Met his fiance, got engaged very quickly, got married. And I swear to God, no one's seen him since.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's literally like he's just been like in a rabbit hole.
Right.
Just doinking.
Right.
Since he got married. It's really weird. It's like he's at home going, how did no one tell me that? This is amazing! And he's just not leaving the house.
I'm not leaving.
Anyway, my advice would be just sit them down and say, look, I like you. And, you know, we have a good time together. Why don't we have more of a good time together by not having a good time with anyone else?
Right.
Do you disagree with that?
No, I think that's sound advice.
Last letter. Dear EBP, every day my work colleague gets this salad with a disgusting fucking garlic dressing that stinks out the office. I hate the dressing, and most of all, I hate him. The dressing makes it worse.
Right.
I sit there and watch him eat the stinky salad while he watches motorbike race videos on YouTube, and I get the urge to shove his head in the drawer and repeatedly slam it shut. But for now, how do I tell him to stop with the garlic dressing?
Sounds like you have to give him a dressing down.
Oy.
I think you should. You just say it, don't you? Just go, listen, that really smells. Take the dressing somewhere else, please.
Every 5 minutes, I would put a fresh crouton in your mouth and just stand behind him and eat it.
That's what
I would do.
Just say, look, you know, that dressing, I don't know if you know this, because you're so self-centered and don't think about anyone else. Footnote. Just don't drink it, don't eat it in the office. It smells. It smells, you're stinky. Stinky mouth. Naughty, naughty, stinky person. I was doing a play once and I brought fish and chips backstage.
That's unacceptable.
The stage manager had a go at me for it and was like, but she also said there's a tradition in theatre that you don't eat fish and chips backstage. And I thought about it and I thought, that's bullshit. You just don't want stinky food backstage.
Yeah, but that's, why did you do that? That's such an asshole thing to do.
It was a mistake. I didn't do it every day. I just brought it back because you do a matinee show. Then you'd have to rush out, get some food, bring it back, and then you do the evening
show. Yeah, but fish and chips as well, that food, like, it has like also, an oily air it was to a it. Big, it makes everyone's it wasn't a small, face it was feel a
big,
oily.
Well, the thing is, it was a big theatre, and it was like, I went straight to my dressing room, but the smell carried, clearly. And then the stage
manager... Of course it did!
Stage manager knocked on the door and went, are you aware that you're not very important to in the hierarchy of the show? Don't eat that stupid fucking food. No one gives a shit about what your feelings. Stop being a dick. And I didn't eat stinky food since from that point. Well, it was a mistake. It's an honest mistake. But the,
yeah,
the
but key, it's an honest mistake when you're not thinking about anyone but yourself.
Yeah, but like everyone does that. You do that. Everyone does that. The key
I've
is
never
like,
eaten stinky food.
You
know,
you've done stuff where you haven't thought about other people. Of course you have. You just probably haven't realised it because you still haven't thought about it. And so you're just in this situation. Like, someone confronted, this is the lesson, right? Someone said, don't do it. They laid out the reasons why. And I went, oh, they're very good reasons. And I didn't do it again. So with this guy, you should do the same. Just go, like, don't let the resentment build up. Otherwise, it's going to come out in a really weird, over-the-top compensatory way where you're, like, really sharp and weird with him. Just go, listen, about the dressing, it's really smelly. Do you mind not eating it in the office because it's smelly? And if he tries to argue with you, you just have rationality on your side. And then you all just kill him.
What Tim said.
Yeah. Just say, look.
Stop it. That's it. Are we done?
Yeah, I think we're done.
That's it for the show. That's another Excitable Boy podcast brought to you by us for your ears for nothing.
Yeah.
So please leave a review on iTunes or a star, some stars.
Yeah.
Only 5.
Yeah.
If you don't want to leave 5, don't bother.
Just don't bother. And walk away.
We'll see you next week for more nothing. And thank you for listening. Here's some music.
Sorry, what was that, Bob?
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.